Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM. And 7:50 a.m. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you, and we're set to put the final touches on this week. This week went by really, really fast. Today, we're going to mix it up, both local and national sports. Of course, we're going to talk heavy NBA basketball. Jameson Welsh of BelieveTheHypeNBA.com is scheduled to join us a little bit later on in the show. Also, we're going to catch up with Dr. Nick Hansen. It's a familiar name here in the Castle Country area. He's actually joining us to talk MMA. He's going to be live in action on June 4th at the Carbon County Event Center. Dr. Nick is going to be going toe-to-toe with Taylor O'Neill. This will be at Justice, Fierce MMA's card. Of course, tickets on sale right now. You got to make sure you come on down and pick them up. $30 for general admission, $50 for VIP. So Nick Hansen's going to join us. He's going to talk about his career in MMA, how he got started, and about the event. Again, going down on June 4th. So that's what's coming up on the show today. Let's dive into the national sports headlines. We're going to start with the NBA. And the Houston Rockets, they're in search of a coach. They fired Kevin McHale midseason, early on in the season, not even midseason. This was a team fresh off a Western Conference Finals appearance. And there were obviously some problems throughout the entire year. I don't think Ty Lawson ever gelled with that team. Obviously, he didn't. I think Daryl Morey, a little bit over his head. Daryl Morey wanted to peg himself as a genius for what he had put together in Houston, and it just didn't mesh. Dwight Howard's only getting 8 to 9 shots a game. James Harden, ball dominant as could be, doesn't play a lick of defense. You got Trevor Ariza, who seems like a nice piece. Ariza's a solid 4 or 5 option on a team. He's a guy that you need to win an NBA championship, that type of role player. Things just never meshed. McHale gets canned. They go to J.B. Bickerstaff. He's the interim coach. He will not be back as head coach. But sources have said that the Rockets have two names on their wish list, Steven Silas and Mike D'Antoni. Interesting name, right? Mike D'Antoni's an interesting name to throw out there because Dwight Howard will most certainly opt out of his contract, and he's going to be a free agent. I do not believe Dwight Howard is back in Houston next year, and I definitely believe if you bring in Mike D'Antoni, he's for sure gone, because D'Antoni was his coach the 1 year he had in L.A. Well, one of his two coaches, the 1 year he had in L.A. D'Antoni took over for Mike Brown midseason. Brown was fired about 6 games into the regular season, and Bernie Bickerstaff took over for him for about 6 or 7 games, took over, and then they brought in Mike D'Antoni, and it just never meshed. So Daryl Morey is basically giving up on the Dwight Howard project, right? Remember the fanfare in Houston when they brought in Dwight, when they ripped Dwight away from L.A.? And how the Lakers really, really wanted Dwight. I mean, they were offering him a 5-year, $130 million deal. And a lot of Laker fans were devastated when Dwight Howard left. Now Houston is basically cutting ties, but this is cutting ties with Dwight Howard. By even naming Mike D'Antoni as a possibility, or at least having a conversation with this guy, you're pretty much saying, Dwight Howard, get out of here. We don't want you. Now, according to the source and to ESPN, Houston has already interviewed about 10 candidates for a job. Mike D'Antoni was in the league last year. He was an associate head coach in Philadelphia. And Silas is actually an assistant coach right now with Charlotte. So these are two guys that are in the league. It just amazes me how Mike D'Antoni gets chance after chance after chance. There are some guys in the NBA who do not get a fair shake. Several guys who have not gotten a fair shake. And I guess that's just the way the league works. Frank Vogel did not get a fair shake in Indiana. Frank Vogel's probably in a better situation right now in Orlando. Love the way that team is rebuilding. Tom Thibodeau did not get a fair shake in Chicago. He's probably in a better situation as well right now in Minnesota. But a lot of times you see coaches who just don't get really fair chances, and then that's it. They're done. I mean, it's that quick. Mike D'Antoni is a guy. He's got to have the greatest agent in sports. Like, there are two coaches in sports today. I would like to meet their agent and shake their hand. Two of them. Lane Kiffin and Mike D'Antoni. I don't understand how Mike D'Antoni gets fired and then gets a better job after. Now, the Houston job, that may be an exception, but I mean, look at his career. Fired from Denver, gets a job in Phoenix. Yeah, I think Phoenix is a better gig. He gets fired from Phoenix, lands a job in New York. He gets fired from New York, lands a job in Los Angeles. Who is this guy's agent? Like, honestly, what has Mike D'Antoni done? I know the 7 second or less offense worked in Phoenix, somewhat. They never won a championship. It got Steve Nash 2 MVP awards. It got Amari Stoudemire a max contract in New York. But even in D'Antoni's heyday in Phoenix, it never even produced a Western Conference championship. But he's a front runner for a job. I just don't get it. Lane Kiffin is a similar situation. How does this guy keep getting jobs? I suppose he's still riding the coattail of Pete Carroll the same way that Mike D'Antoni is riding the coattail of Steve Nash winning 2 MVPs. I mean, I guess that's what I'm going to roll with, because you look at Lane Kiffin, this is why I bring him up as well. Here was a guy who was offensive coordinator at USC, and really it was one of the most dominating eras of college football that we have seen in recent memory. But he leaves USC in that potent offense. He gets a job in Oakland. He gets fired, lands a job at Tennessee as the head coach. He's there for 1 year and gets a head coaching job at USC. Fired, lands an offensive coordinator job at Alabama. I'd like to meet the two agents for these guys, because they are definitely doing their work. Like, that's the way an agent is supposed to work, right? Boy, I really, really got off topic there. But Mike D'Antoni and Steven Silas right now, the two front runners apparently to land the head coaching job with the Houston Rockets. Now, as far as the NBA goes, a little bit of a dead night, no basketball. Nope, tomorrow we get Toronto and Cleveland, and then the next day we'll get Golden State and Oklahoma City. That's okay, we're going to talk NBA basketball on the show today. Toronto, they managed to hang with Cleveland for about two quarters, and then after that, the Cavaliers just pulled away. And LeBron James was brilliant. He had a triple-double last night. There are some more worries, though, for the Golden State Warriors. Stephen Curry said today that he's fine 2 days after landing on his right elbow in the second quarter of their win over OKC in Game 2. Now, if you missed the game or you don't know what I'm talking about, Curry dove into the stands in pursuit of a loose ball, and he bumped his elbow, and apparently it swelled up, like to the size of a tennis ball is what they said. Today at the Warriors practice facility, he said it's fine, swelling went down, really no worries. He did have a shooting sleeve on the elbow, though, just as compression to make sure that he can get some shots up without swelling. It is something to look at. If the Warriors can get Steph Curry through this postseason still standing, they'll win an NBA championship. But that's a big if at this particular time. Let's take a look at the Major League Baseball scoreboard, because, of course, we get baseball all the way around today. No day games, but there's plenty of action. We'll begin in the 5 o'clock hour. We get Atlanta at Philly, Colorado at Pittsburgh, Cleveland will be at Boston, Tampa Bay at Detroit, Seattle at Cincinnati, and the Mets will play host to the Brewers. And also we get Washington at Miami. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour. 6 o'clock tonight, Kansas City at Chicago. We get Toronto at Minnesota. The Astros will play host to the Rangers. The Diamondbacks on the road to take on the Cardinals. 7 o'clock hour, the Yankees at Oakland, Baltimore at the Angels. Chicago will take on the Giants in the 8 o'clock hour, and the Dodgers have the nightcap tonight on the road against the San Diego Padres. Quick recap of everything that's happening as far as the national sports scene goes. Oh, and we cannot forget about hockey as well, as the Eastern Conference Finals continue tonight. We get one game, Pittsburgh at Tampa Bay. Right now, Pittsburgh leading that series 2-1. Start time for that one is set for 6 p.m. And I'll give you a scoreboard update as far as high school baseball goes before we send it back to the commercial break. The Carbon Dinos losing earlier today to the Dixie Flyers. Carbon loses 10-6. They battled tough. Mitch Olson was charged with the loss on the mound. Carbon was down 7-6. They never led in this game, but they were down 7-6, I believe, in the fifth inning, had bases loaded with no outs, and could not score. Great season by the Dinos. They were a number 3 seed going in to the state tournament. They win the first two rounds, knock off a number 4 seed that knocked off a number 1 seed. They also knock off a number 2 seed. Not a bad year at all for the Dinos. We'll talk to Coach Jeff Cincinnatus a little bit later on next week and we'll go over everything as far as the 2016 season goes. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Nick Hansen as we talk Justice, Fierce MMA's card coming up on June 4th here on Drive Time Sports. Reporting from the KOAO 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The baseball season for the Carbon Dinos came to a close earlier today as they suffered a 10-6 loss to Dixie in the one-loss bracket at Kearns High School. Carbon never trailed in the elimination contest, although they definitely made it close. Down 7-6 in the fifth inning, Carbon had bases loaded with no outs, but could not bring a run across home plate. Despite the setback, Cole Fawcett went yard for the fourth time this tournament, so four times in four games. This was a two-run blast to bring Carbon within striking distance. Mitch Olson was charged with the loss on the hill for the Dinos. As a team, they registered 9 hits but did commit 5 errors. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll catch up with head coach Jeff Cincinnatus in the coming days to recap the entire 2016 season. We move over to softball as the season came to a close for the Carbon Lady Dinos yesterday as they suffered a heartbreaking 2-1 loss to Cedar City in an elimination contest. The Lady Dinos finished the 3A state tournament sitting 1-2. Their lone win came against Morgan 13-3. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We're going to catch up with head coach Wade Williams next week to recap the entire 2016 season. We move over to golf. The Carbon Lady Dinos golf season came to an end as they failed to make the cut for the second day at the state tournament Wednesday, finishing with a final team score of 192 at Soldier Hollow in Midway. Only the top 10 out of the 16 competing teams advanced to the second and final day of the tournament. At the end of the first round, Carbon was 13th place, 41 points behind Logan. Fellow Region 12 schools Canyon View and North St. Pete also failed to make the cut, while the region's champion, Juab, advanced with an 8th place finish. Entering the second and final day, Park City was at the top of the leaderboard with a 307. Lexi Garcia led the Lady Dinos by scoring 53 points in the modified Stableford system. Indy Gardner and Aubrey Fawcett both scored 47. Laney Davis chipped in with 45, and Keely Marquez and Gwen Cardellas finished with 44. The Lady Dinos qualified for the state tournament after finishing third in Region 12. Both Marquez and Garcia finished inside the top 10 individually in the final region scores. And we'll end with track and field, where today will be the first of the final 2 days of the track and field season. Both Carbon and Emory will travel to BYU for the state competition. Both teams wrapped up the regular season at the region meets last week. The Carbon Lady Dinos finished third in Region 12, while the boys team finished in fifth. The Emory Spartans had a similar performance, except the boys finished second and the girls finished fourth. In order to qualify for the state meet, individuals had to finish in the top four in their specific event at the region meet, but throughout the regular season, they also had the possibility of qualifying due to time. Because of that, both Carbon and Emory will send several individuals to the state finale. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll bring you those results as soon as they become available. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. We're going to talk some local sports here for a moment. Now, earlier in the week, we had Cody Bunderson on the show. He's the owner and instructor at Fierce MMA Gym. Now, of course, they have Justice coming up. That's right around the corner, June 4th. It's going to be at the Carbon County Event Center. Do not forget, you can get your tickets to this event at Castle Country Radio. It's going to be a whole lot of fun, up to 15 MMA bouts. And joining us over the phone today, an individual that's going to be on that card. He's actually a local guy. You're going to recognize the name, Dr. Nicholas Hansen. First off, Nick, it's great to get you on the show today. I appreciate the time.
Well, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Hey, you're kind of new when it comes to MMA, right? I mean, you have one fight underneath your amateur record, and now you're getting ready to step back into the cage on June 4th.
Yeah, that's true. Been training about 2.5-3 years now, so... But it will be my second fight.
You're a doctor, so what is it that got you involved with MMA?
Well, back in my residency, I was always interested in sports medicine, and part of our rotations, we did ringside. We were ringside physicians for local Golden Gloves in San Antonio, and that that kind of got me, you know, interested in the sport. And I did some boxing when I was a little bit younger and was wrestling in junior high. And I've always been, you know, interested in the UFC and MMA, partially due to my brother-in-law, Cody Bunderson, who's been in it over 10 years now. So that's kind of how I was drawn into it.
You talk about during your residency when you were actually ringside at the Golden Gloves. I'm sure you definitely saw some interesting things take place.
Yeah, and the Golden Gloves is still amateur boxing, so nothing too bad, but quite a few fights down there, and quite a few good athletes.
Yeah, that's where you see definitely a lot of guys starting to find their rhythm, trying to find their groove within the sport. I'm a big boxing guy myself, slowly starting to transition into the MMA realm here. Why MMA over boxing?
Boxing, you know, is sort of more one-dimensional, whereas MMA incorporates boxing with Muay Thai, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and my biggest interest is in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as a sport. That's kind of overall what got me into it.
Now, of course, you're going to be on this card again June 4th. It's Justice here at the Carbon County Event Center. It'll be your second fight. You lost your first amateur fight. Walk me through that process, what it was like walking into the cage for the first time and ultimately suffering a loss.
Well, really didn't feel a whole lot at all. Usually when I'm watching my friend's family fight, I get really, really amped up for it. But it was just a calming effect, which surprised me when I was out there for the first time. My first fight was against a guy, he's actually the striking coach at a gym in Cedar City, by the name of Jeff Young, and it was his fourth fight. So we beat each other up pretty good, lost a split decision. We went the distance, two judges for him, one judge for me. So it was a good fight overall. Great experience. I like would rather do that than go out, you know, and only have 30 seconds in the ring, so...
Yeah, definitely. What did you take away from that first outing?
I think I need to be a little bit more aggressive than I was. I mean, you know, do a lot of counter-striking, but, you know, be a little bit more aggressive, have a little more faith in my jiu-jitsu on the ground, so.
Now, you mentioned your brother-in-law, Cody Bunderson, of course, instructor and owner at Fierce MMA Gym. Do you train here in Price?
I do, yeah. We train pretty much 6-7 days a week. You know, 3 hours a night during the week. So, you know, everybody thinks, you know, it's a couple guys getting in the cage and just brawling out like on the streets, but there's quite a bit of preparation and quite a bit of training that goes into this. So, you know, Cody himself has over 10 years of experience. He's been doing this for quite a long time and is now a purple belt in jiu-jitsu under Rob Hanley up at Absolute MMA.
And I think it is important to mention that gym, of course, is open up to everyone, and everybody kind of has a different, I guess, motive. Some people actually want to get involved and step into the cage. Other people just want to get out, have a good time, and some actually want to make sure that they're living a healthy lifestyle. And I think at Fierce MMA, you guys can kind of tackle all angles.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a guy that's looking to go out there and just beat people up, you're in it for the wrong reasons, and you really shouldn't be doing that. I think... most people at the gym are doing it for fitness and to just challenge themselves.
Again, our guest right now is Nicholas Hansen. He's going to be on the card of Justice, which will take place June 4th at the Carbon County Event Center. Now I want to talk about your opponent. You guys will be fighting at a catch weight 165. Taylor O'Neill, what do you know about your opponent, and how have you been studying him and preparing for this event?
Don't know a whole lot about him. He's kind of the fourth guy that we've been through so far due to some injuries and family issues. We've had a couple guys drop out. I know he trains at a gym in Idaho. Know he's pretty heavy-handed, has a good right hand. But other than that, I don't know a whole lot about him. I know he's been he's a tough kid, so we'll see.
As far as preparing for a different opponent like three or four different times, has it been difficult for you or not really?
In some aspects, one of the guys I was going to fight was more of a southpaw, so the training's a little bit different going up against a southpaw. One was more of a wrestler, so, you know, there are small things you have to change in your training regimen, but, so, you know, and I knew a little bit more about the other guys, and not knowing a whole lot about this guy, you know, there's not going to be a whole lot to change other than, you know, sticking to the basics.
Now, again, I just a minute ago, I was talking about how everybody kind of has a different motive. Where do you see your MMA career going? Do you want to take this thing a step further? I mean, obviously, you're a doctor. That's got to be your main focus. But outside of that realm, how far do you see this actually going for you personally?
This will be my last cage fight. You know, I'm getting a little bit older. It's a young man's game, so gonna call it quits after this one, win, lose, or draw. So I'm gonna still, you know, continue training at Fierce MMA. I'm gonna, you know, continue advancing in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, continue doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournaments, which are a lot easier on the body. You don't have to get hit in the head for that. So this will be my last fight.
Is that kind of bittersweet for you, or are you happy with that, knowing that it will be your last fight?
I wish I would have got into it at a younger age. You know, had a little bit more time to do things. But again, you know, with medical career, it's kind of hard to do both at the same time.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's going to be a great night. You're going to be on the card. There's going to be a lot of other names here locally that people will recognize. And I know there are guys coming from outside the state. You just mentioned your opponent coming from Idaho. So, Nick, before I let you go, I want you to go ahead and tell the listening audience out there to make sure they get their tickets and come out for a great night on June 4th.
Yeah, it's going to be a great night. It's not going to just be guys off the street, you know, beating up on each other. These are gentlemen that have been in training for, you know, years, putting a lot of hours in the gym. We're going to put on a great show. We're going to be at least 12 fights, and the venue is going to be great out at the event center, a lot of room, and promise you all, I've been training my heart out and going to put on a great show for you guys.
We're definitely looking forward to it. Again, tickets are on sale right now. You can get them at several locations throughout the area. Castle Country Radio, Squiggy's, Tougher, just a couple of places that are selling tickets. $30 for general admission, $50 for VIP. The VIP tickets come with dinner and also a drink. Dr. Nick Hansen, it's great to get you on. I thank you for taking out the time out of your busy schedule to talk about the event on June 4th. Best of luck.
Thank you, and thanks for having me on the show.
It's Dr. Nick Hansen. He's going to be a part of the Justice card. Again, June 4th at the Carbon County Event Center. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be a great night. I'm going to be there as well. Make sure you come on out and join us. Get your tickets because it is going to sell out. It always does. You want to make sure you get those in advance. Still got a couple of weeks before the event, but it's wise to jump on those tickets right now. We're going to pause for just a moment. When we return, we're going to move over to the national sports scene. We're going to talk NBA basketball here on this Friday edition of Drive Time Sports.
Oakland-born Damian Lillard.
Now, what a second season for Damian Lillard.
Last year's Rookie of the Year, an All-Star this year.
It's Lillard! He got the shot off! Throw it down! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
This is Damian Lillard from the Portland Trail Blazers, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with George Buscarini on KOAL 750 AM.
We're back here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL, 103.9 FM, and 7:50 AM. It's a Friday edition of the show. We're going to talk NBA playoff basketball, and we'll bring in our good friend, Jameson Welsh from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. He's also a part of the Triple Threat NBA podcast, which you can listen to each week as we break down certain topics in the NBA. Jameson, always great to have you on. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem for having me. Thanks, as always.
Yeah, Jameson, we got a dead night in the NBA. No playoff basketball, which isn't necessarily a bad thing after last night. The Toronto Raptors, they made it interesting. The first half was a very entertaining couple of quarters for this contest. After that, LeBron and the Cavs, they made it look easy once again in the second half. And I'll start with this. The bottom line is Toronto has to have Kyle Lowry, and they have to have an effective Kyle Lowry to even have a remote chance of winning in this series.
Oh, without a doubt. They got to have the guy that closed out the previous series. They got to have that guy, the guy that's a two-time All-Star that's been playing pretty good over the last couple of years. They got to have that guy, the guy that's pretty aggressive and hitting shots early and often. Without that guy, they're in a lot of trouble because the rest of that roster outside of DeRozan isn't really that good. They have a lot of guys that are role guys or specialists or whatever you want to call it, but they don't have guys that can take over a game or take over a quarter and make or hit big shots. Like Kyle Lowry has done in previous series. So if they can get that going, they have a chance. But right now, it's not looking too good for them. They look overwhelmed on the defensive end. And quite honestly, they're just outclassed right now. They just don't have the better team. And Cleveland is clicking on all cylinders. So it's a lot of things not going in the Toronto Raptors' way right now.
The Cavs have played a well-rounded couple of games. They played a well-rounded playoffs. I mean, they're a perfect 10-0 for crying out loud. But you take a look at the field goal percentage in this series so far. They're shooting 53% from the field. And I said this on the show yesterday, and I'm going to go right back to it. A team like Golden State or OKC will have a hard time defeating Cleveland if they continue to shoot the ball at this rate. Now, you can really say, okay, well, Toronto's defense isn't the best because they have struggled defensively. But the bottom line is, Cleveland is still knocking down shots from all over the floor. They are playing lights-out basketball at the moment.
Oh, without a doubt. They're playing very well. Even though their opponents haven't been that great, they're playing a high quality of basketball. And then, you know, just asks you to beg the question, what's going to happen when they play an opponent that's pretty good or, you know, better than they are, just as they are? That's going to be a question that we're all waiting to see answered. But for right now, they're playing who's in front of them, they're taking care of business, and that's all they can really ask for. You know, it's kind of unfair that people question them and, you know, are kind of downplaying their wins. I don't think you can downplay their wins. I think you can question what they could do against better competition, but I don't think it's fair to downplay the wins. All you do is play who's in front of you, and they're taking care of business in pretty impressive fashion. Biggest thing for me is just seeing certain guys play a little bit better defense. Kevin Love has played more, he's given more effort on that end, per se. I want to see Kyrie Irving improve in that fashion more. But for the most part, they're playing really well right now. It's an interesting thing to see. You know, the East has been really bad. It's a top-heavy conference. But they are taking care of business, so you have to give them credit for that.
Yeah, nobody questions the ability of LeBron and Kevin Love and Kyrie. The biggest question mark with this Cleveland Cavalier team has been the reserves and those other, you know, seven or six guys that are going to get rotation time here in the postseason. Channing Frye is emerging as being a very important piece for this team, especially if they want to win an NBA championship.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, Channing Frye is a guy that's hit a lot of big shots for them in a couple series and whatnot. He's a guy that's been pretty good, really good pickup for them, a smooth under-the-radar pickup for them. And that's what happens when you have good teams that need the piece here or there. He allows them to be a little bit more flexible on the offensive end. They can go small. They can spread everyone out. My only thing with him is what's going to happen when they go against a team that can go small and he has to defend someone a lot more than he's used to. Then what's going to happen now? Are those shots that he's taking, are those going to be going in? And also what's going to happen when he's getting contested shots from guys that are used to covering guys, centers that can shoot. So it's going to be interesting to see, but right now he's playing very, very well. But I want to see him when he has to defend guys who are better than him. That's going to be a huge question mark in my eyes.
And, of course, we have to talk about LeBron James. Last night, 34 minutes of action. Very efficient from the field, 7 of 13. 11 boards, 11 assists. He had three steals to go along with it, plus 16 out there on the court. This guy is playing once again at a high level. As LeBron, obviously he's learned, right? I mean, it's not a marathon, or it's not a sprint. It is a marathon. And I'm starting to see LeBron, his game is shifting a little bit. LeBron's game in the postseason compared to LeBron's game the final month and a half of the regular season looks completely different. Different to me just off of the eye test.
Oh, of course. I mean, he's a guy that knows that, hey, the playoffs is where it's at. You know, the playoffs is where you want to have your best game at. You don't want to peak too early. You know, you don't want to be, you don't want to be tired come playoffs. He's a guy that he knows his body. He knows that, you know, this is the time you want to be peaking. So he understands what it takes. This is his 13th year in the league. He understands when you want to be peaking and whatnot, but he does definitely looks like a different animal, a different beast. Also, he's also going against teams that really aren't that good and have problems adjusting and adapting to certain situations as well. So you kind of have to credit that as well, but he does like a really, really different player than he has regular season.
Again, Jamison Welsh from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com and the Triple Threat Podcast, our guest right now here on Drive Time Sports. Jamison, will flip. Again, no contest tonight. We're still a couple of days away from Game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. Important game for Oklahoma City would be an understatement here. I know every game in a series is important, but look, they steal home court advantage in Game 1. They're blown out in Game 2. I'm really curious to see the way this team responds, especially with Billy Donovan as a head coach. Both of us have given him a lot of praise, and I know they responded well from a Game 1 blowout against San Antonio, but now this is a different beast being in the Western Conference Finals against a team that's better in Golden State.
Right, and Golden State is the better team. I think we all can agree on that. The thing that, you know, I find interesting is that some of the adjustments Golden State has made, you know, they're able to get past, you know, Oklahoma City is going big. You know, a lot of the drives from Golden State, they're able to obviously get into the paint. And instead of driving all the way to the rim, they're either able to get to the painted area and make a pass or break down to the point where they can draw the other big out underneath the basket. So So that's something I saw different in game two. And also, of course, the passing. Golden State, there was like three passes minimum before shot went up. And that's always something when you see their offense and how they do things. That's something that's a good sign for them. I want to see if Oklahoma City is poised and disciplined enough in order to beat a team that they could beat. They have certain advantages. But I want to see if they're poised and disciplined enough to actually, you know, be sound with the basketball. That's something I want to see because they're two guys that handle the ball the most, have the most turnovers, and they have bad turnovers. It's not like they're good turnovers. They're really bad turnovers, like dribbling the ball with their foot or bad passes and whatnot. I want to see if they have enough poise to, you know, kind of keep those under wraps because if they can have a less than 12 a game, they have a shot. But once they get into the 14, 15, 17 range, you can forget about it. You have no chance of beating the Warriors with that. So it's interesting to see how they respond and whatnot. But also, the key for them is Serge Ibaka. If he gives them any productive minutes, they have a really good chance of winning. If he doesn't, these guys that's just shooting jumpers and not playing his, you know, type of defense, they're in a lot of trouble.
He can hit it, but I don't want to see Serge Ibaka taking 16-foot jumpers off the elbow consistently. That's not how OKC is going to win the series.
Exactly. That's the thing. Like, he can shoot it, but you don't want him shooting it. You want him being on the offensive boards, getting put back, maybe shooting 15-footers maybe, not three-pointers. You know, you want to see him mix it up a little more. And on defense, you want to see him hold his own and not get lost and not blow assignments. He's more of his strength on the defensive end. If he's not going to be doing that, then you have other issues. So we'll see what happens. I still think Golden State wins the series. I don't know what's going to happen out in Oklahoma City. I think they'll probably split the games 3 and 4, but it would not surprise me to see Golden State get both games. Golden State, they know they have a level that no one else in the league has in terms of turning it on, and I don't know if Oklahoma City can respond to that, especially when Steph Curry starts hitting haymakers from 30 feet. I don't know if Oklahoma City can respond disciplined enough without, you know, trying to go tit for tat with them. I don't know if they can do that. So we'll see, but I still think that Golden State is in a good shape in this series.
Let's move away from Western and Eastern Conference final talk here for a minute, because for all but four teams, you know, they're already planning on what they're going to do in the offseason as far as free agency and the NBA draft goes. We just had the lottery. I seen an interesting Q&A with Dwight Howard and ESPN. I was actually reading it this morning. Very interesting article, to say the least. I believe that Dwight Howard is inching closer to a return to Orlando. Am I crazy for thinking that?
You are crazy, because they have a center there that's a pretty good center, so they'd have to move him in order to pay Dwight what he wants. It would be a good story. It'd be a good rehab for his image, so I wouldn't be surprised. But I don't think that would help Orlando all that much. Like, it sounds good, but I don't think that's the best thing for Orlando right now. Getting a guy that's an aging center that has had injuries and has had issues wherever he's gone, I don't know if bringing him back is the best thing. I can definitely see them doing so, but I don't think it's the best option on the table for both parties. I think that Orlando's probably better off going with what they got. They got a younger guy that can play on the offensive end, who doesn't have the same issues White has. I would roll what they have, but you know what? Storybook endings are all the craze these days, and it wouldn't surprise me to see Dwight go back to Orlando.
The center you mentioned, Vucevic, he's the only player on the team with a double-digit salary going into next season, plus Brandon Jennings is coming off of the books. Where does Dwight fit in this day and age in the NBA, with a lot of teams going smaller as far as down low, and Dwight not necessarily having the skill set to be effective offensively from all different angles on the floor? I mean, where does he fit in this free agency period?
Well, he fits in because you still need a center. Like, Golden State, they are the best at small ball. They still have a guy in the back that, you know, really is underrated in Andrew Bogut, who cleans a lot of stuff up, you know, a lot of blown assignments and whatnot. He cracks at the rim because he's able to, you know, protect the basket and also deter shots and rebounds. So you still need a center. The only thing is, on the offensive end, you don't need to run your offense to a center. And Dwight still wants the offense ran through him a lot. And that's where the issue lies. That's the biggest thing. So until Dwight gets it out of his head that he's not a number one or two option on the offensive end, you're still going to have problems wherever he goes. But he's still a very valuable piece out there in the league, because you still need a center to be the anchor of your defense, especially an athletic guy that can defend pick and roll and also defend the basket in the same possession.
We're going to end with this. Now that we know that the what the draft order is, I know there's been some crazy rumors floating around as far as teams that would look to move up. The Utah Jazz have been rumored to be one of those teams. Maybe they would try to package a couple of assets and move up in the draft. Look, we know they have several young assets, including the Utah Jazz and all of the other teams that have the assets to move up or move down in the draft. The most likely team of making, not necessarily a blockbuster, but a big trade that shakes things up in the lottery.
They need to. They need to do something, and they need to do it quickly because in the West, they've been on the outside looking in for the last couple of years now, and you have teams like Denver, Minnesota, that are going to be better than they are really quickly. They're going to be really good really soon, especially Minnesota with the coaching hire they have and the young guys they have there. So if you don't make a move, you're going to get passed up, and if you're not already in the playoffs, then you have some issues because also New Orleans is going to get better as well. So if you're not getting better, if you're not competing, then you're in a lot of trouble. And right now, for what I see in on the Jazz, they still lack consistent scoring. Rodney Hood and Gordon Hayward cannot be your best two scorers on the roster in the Western Conference. It's just not going to work out that well for you. So I want to see what happens going forward and see who they can add and whatnot. If I'm them, I go all in on a guy like Jamal Murray. I go all in and try to get him. Whether I got to trade with Boston, I got to trade with who's ever in the fourth spot or the fifth spot. I try to go and get him because he's a guy that can get buckets. He can also run a little bit of your point guard, and you know he's going to get better because of the kind of skills he has. That's the guy I go get. Whatever it takes to go get him, whether it's my lottery pick and a couple of proven guys, I go do that because you need to make a splash and you need to get somebody to play immediately and that can score immediately. You don't want to wait on another 2 or 3 year project. You want to get a guy that can score right now.
Jameson Welsh, BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. He's around everywhere, makes various radio appearances throughout the week, throughout the entire country. Jameson, it's always great to get you on the show. I always look forward to it, and I know we'll do it again next week.
Not a problem, man. Thanks for always having me, man. Definitely appreciate it.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll come back, and we'll put the final touches on this week of Drive Time Sports here on 103.9 FM and 7:50 a.m.
Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL, 7:50 a.m.
Back to put the final touches on this week of Drive Time Sports. Kind of a sad day. The baseball slash softball season officially over here in the Castle Country. It ended earlier today with the Dinos losing to Dixie on the baseball diamond. We had the Lady Dinos eliminated yesterday. Emory's season came to a close last week, as did USU Eastern. So baseball officially over from a high school standpoint as we reach the final week of school here in the local area. But the Legion season, it's about to fully get underway. We'll have both Price and Helper starting off their seasons next week. Actually, Monday, Helper's going to have tryouts. Price, American Legion Baseball, they've been practicing over the last couple of weeks or having tryouts over the last couple of weeks. So we still got some time as far as baseball in the local area goes. But high school, it's officially over, and we'll start recapping it next week here on Drive Time Sports. Busy weekend as far as the national sports scene goes. We talked about the Preakness for a while on the show yesterday. If you missed that segment and you want to get your horse racing fix, head on over to CastleCountryRadio.com. Who's going to take home the Preakness? I see it as a two-horse race right now. Nyquist, the odds-on favorite, who has never lost and really had a dominating victory in the Kentucky Derby, is jockey Gutierrez. I thought put forth the perfect effort in leading his horse to the Kentucky Derby win. Now tomorrow, he'll be at it, the Preakness. They're expecting around 4 to 8 inches of rain prior to the race. That's going to change things quite a bit. I still like Nyquist to get the win. You got to roll with the horse that has never lost. And I think we could potentially be looking at our second Triple Crown winner in as many years, which would be amazing because for the last like 6 years here on the show, I've been begging for a Triple Crown winner. Because I wanted to see one in my lifetime. We get one, and now we may get two in 2 years. Although this year, I'm more interested in actually seeing a rivalry, and I think Exaggerator can bring that to the table. Start time tomorrow. Post time, it's set at 4:45. Definitely don't want to miss the Preakness. Maybe watching history once again in the sport of horse racing. I'm going to end this show today by jumping back over to the NBA. And we talked a lot about this last week. Steph Curry was named the unanimous NBA MVP, the first to ever get that honor. Gary Payton was talking with Sports Illustrated Now and SiriusXM Radio. He said that Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, they were all worthy of the distinction that Curry was voted as the, you know, unanimous MVP. He said it was, quote, all about era. Here's a quote. I think all of those guys were unanimous decisions, too. It just happened in an era that went his way. I commend him and what he's accomplished. But you gotta think about who was voting for MJ, Kareem in their prime, and why they wouldn't have given all of their votes to those guys. So let me get this straight. Because Michael Jordan was Michael Jordan, he deserved to be the unanimous MVP. Because Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who I believe is the greatest basketball player that ever lived, not necessarily a popular opinion, but it's tough to argue. He's by far the most accomplished basketball player to ever live. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is. Because of all of his accomplishments that he had had in the past, and because of his namesake, he deserved to get a unanimous MVP just because. And I definitely have a problem with that logic. And to be fair to Gary Payton, if you read the whole clip, Gary Payton actually comes back around, and I think he tries to put a more positive spin on it. But the problem I've had, guys from that 90s era, and we could go beyond the 90s era, because Oscar Robertson had some comments about Steph Curry as well. But guys from past eras, I think they feel threatened by what's happening right now. Like, Gary Payton was a terrific point guard, don't get me wrong. Gary Payton was never that guy to lead his team to an NBA championship. Like, Gary Payton has a championship ring, but Gary Payton got his ring with the Miami Heat well past his prime. Gary Payton couldn't win an NBA championship with the Seattle Supersonics. Came close. There was a guy named Michael Jordan that prevented that from happening. Gary Payton couldn't elevate the Milwaukee Bucks. He couldn't win a championship with three other Hall of Famers in Los Angeles. And eventually, he just kind of globbed on in Miami and got his ring. It's almost like sour grapes from this generation. And it's funny because I have conversations. It goes beyond sports. I have conversations with my father quite often about how things were so much better back in his day. And so these older guys, they have a hard time grasping the way things evolve, how things have evolved in the NBA. It's a different game right now than it was when Gary Payton played. You know, we see a lot of small ball. We're talking about the NBA draft. Ben Simmons is 6'10". Ben Simmons, if he goes to the Lakers, Ben Simmons may play center in Luke Walton's system. That's unheard of, right? Because we're past the stage of having to have a 7'2" big in the middle. The game is changing. It's an up and down type tempo. Guys from the previous eras have a really hard time embracing that. It's like, take for instance your parents or your grandparents. They probably have a really tough time grasping the concept of Netflix. You know, they would prefer to go out to the video store and rent a DVD. They don't necessarily like that you could sit down on your couch with the click of a remote, you could bring that movie up without even leaving your house. They don't like that sort of convenience, because it's not what they grew up around. Gary Payton played at a stage in the NBA where, yes, there was some competitive basketball. When Gary Payton was in his prime, there was some very competitive basketball, but the league was very similar to the way it is now when Payton was in his prime in the mid-90s. In a sense, to where at the beginning of the season, we picked 5 or 6 teams that were legitimate contenders for an NBA championship. It was the same thing in the mid-90s. So, did Michael Jordan deserve the distinction of being a unanimous MVP? I don't know. I don't have the statistics in front of me. But I will say, instead of using this as a negative at Steph Curry, let's applaud the fact that the MVP voting in the NBA, which has been totally screwed up for the past like 10 years. I can go over some instances where I sit and I shake my head. Like the fact that Steve Nash has the same amount of MVPs of Shaq and Kobe combined. That's a farce when it comes to the MVP voting. So, the media got it right this year. Nobody else deserved a first-place vote. Steph Curry was that good. Okay, Gary, are you referring to the year where Michael Jordan won an NBA championship and his team won 72 games? Because guess what? Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors won 73. See, Michael Jordan's Bulls set a level of superiority that we thought we would never see again. But Steph Curry elevated his game. You look at this guy's numbers this season and tell me they're not some of the most historical numbers that we have ever seen, not being a prisoner of the moment. His numbers were incredible, and his team was incredible throughout the year. So quit using the eras in a negative form to bring Steph Curry down, because that's irresponsible from a former player standpoint who has a lot of weight with his voice. That's irresponsible on Gary Payton's part. And like I said, if you read the piece, he comes back around and he puts a more positive spin on it. But it just seems like these former players and these old men basketball fans are doing everything they can to negate the fact that Steph Curry averaged 30 points a game this season, shot 56% from the field inside the three-point line, shot 45% from the three-point line, and was lights out at the foul line at 90%. You can't put a negative spin on that. You can't put a negative spin on the fact that this guy's team won 73 games this season. And you can't put a negative spin on the fact that they're the defending champions and they're probably going to win another one. We're out of time on this edition of Drive Time Sports. We'll be back tomorrow with a best of beginning at 7 p.m. right here on KOAL. And then Sunday, we're back at it at 3 p.m. It's always fun to be along with you. Thank you once again. We'll catch you back live here Monday, same time, 4 to 5. Be safe. I am out.